All righty. They have given me plenty of time, I see. I have to pull out page 4 and 5. When Tommy said that about little kids saying stuff, thank you, like that, I read a story this week of a little boy who, in his church, they asked him to pray. He was a little 6-year-old boy. And so he bowed his head. He prayed. He said, "Dear Lord," he said, "thank you for the church. Thank you for all the people in it. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for our playground. And thank you for the rocks out in the parking lot, even though the preacher said we can't throw them anymore." The little things kids say sometimes are quite impressionable. This morning, I want to talk about something that came to my mind a while back. Actually, it came to my mind several times. But it's to do with prayer. And it was something that I thought about a lot a couple weeks ago. Bryson plays on the rec league football and baseball and different things like that. And I'm always amazed at, they get these little 9, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds together, and they'll talk to them a little bit, and then they always say, "All right, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer." And I tried to video it last week, and of all the weeks I wanted to video it, it didn't. One of the coaches just prayed. But it's, sometimes I wonder, I'd like to pull some of them kids aside afterwards and say, "Tell me what you just said." Because I really doubt any of them would know what they just said. I mean, if you ever tried to repeat the Lord's Prayer without taking a breath, that's what they do. I cannot keep up. I mean, it's like, "Let's pray." You know, and they say, "Who's Father? Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come. The will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us debts. We forgive our debts." I mean, it's just like that. I mean, without taking a breath, they say the whole thing. And I got to thinking, do us as Christians sometimes, are our prayer lives becoming more of a ritual than it is a relationship? And so I got to looking into this a little bit, and it really touched me about some of the things I do that I don't think about. So that's a little bit of what I want to look at this morning. Stories told of a boy who had been working there during the summer. He was trying to raise money for his bike. He wanted a new bike. He picked up some odd jobs here and there, but just couldn't raise the money. He decided he was going to write God a letter. So he got a pen out. "Dear God, I want a new bike. Can you please send me $100? He wrapped it up, put it in an envelope. Didn't know the address, so he just wrote God on it, stuck it in the mailbox. Postman come along, picked it up when he was sorting mail later that night. Came across this and it said, "God." So he was like, "Well, who?" He said, "Well, somebody must want to send it to the president." So he forwarded it to Washington, D.C. President gets the letter there and he looks at it. All right, so he opens it up. He was pretty touched by just the short few words from this child. So he put $20 in it and sent it back to the boy. Boy gets the letter a few weeks, days later, opens it up, and inside a card with $20. He thought it was a little unusual, but he thought, "Well, I'm going to send God a letter back and tell him thank you." So he wrote another letter, pulled a pen out, wrote, "Dear God, thank you for the money you sent. But just so you know, I seen you made a mistake. When you forwarded the letter back to me, you sent it through Washington, D.C., and they again took out $80. This little boy wanted something. He probably spent time in prayer. But he was going about doing something on his own to try to get this money for a bike. He got it, but not quite as much as he wanted. What is prayer to me? What is prayer to you? Is it something that when you get ready to eat a meal, you do that little bob and weave that everybody does? You know, it's, "All right, let's eat," you know. I've seen, and just in the past couple weeks, you know, I watched people because this was going through my mind, and I had to think how many people, if you ask them by the time they were finished with their meal, what they had, if they had accomplished anything with that prayer before their meal. And I don't know. I'm not saying what people pray, but I just wondered that watching some people. Because the question I have is, you know, is prayer a ritual or a relationship? And ritual, if you know I wrote down the definition here just so we have the correct, a series of acts that is always done in the same way. If you watch a Braves game, talk about rituals. Certain people have different rituals. If you ever watch Jason Hayward bat, after every pitch, he will unstrap his batting gloves and restrap them back up. Every pitch, he will do that. Unstrap them, strap them back up. Get back in the batter's box, get ready to hit. Next pitch, unstrap them, strap them back up. Get back in the batter's box. And you can watch that in any sport. Players have things, golfers do the same thing. Before every shot they hit, they'll do the same little ritual. It's just to get them in that the mode that they're comfortable in. You see it all over. Different things that people put some kind of at ease. A relationship, the way in which two or more things are connected. What is prayer? Prayer is an intimate communication with God. Prayer is not a ritual that happens the same thing every time. What you are doing when you pray is you are trying to build a relationship with God. Let me pick somebody out here. I don't know. Travis, you're sitting there. So, when you go on your next date, not next, you have to be a first in order to be a next, doesn't it? When you go on a date, try this sometime. When you get there and sit across from this girl who you're trying to impress, try not saying nothing the whole night. And I bet you will not get no phone calls back. Because you accomplished, when you left that night, you didn't know that person any better than when you went there the first time. You didn't communicate, therefore you did not work on building a relationship. This is the way it works with prayer. You are, in a sense, building a relationship with God through this. Satan don't mind somebody who prays as long as it's a ritual-based relationship with God. If they know that when you bow your head, you're just uttering the same three or four words every time you pray, it doesn't bother Satan. He knows you're not really building any type of relationship with God through that. Because a true relationship only happens when you pour your heart out, when you pour your feelings out, when you pour your struggles, your praises. That's how you build a relationship. Prayer is kind of, think of it this way. I go into a lot of new houses. You go in there before the sheetrock's up on the walls and you can see these wires running all over a house. Most of them wires, when they're done, are run to a little blue box, and in that box will be a receptacle or a switch, something like that. When they get done, they turn the power on. You can walk inside that room, inside the kitchen, and stand in there, and there's that power is in them walls all around you. You can bring your brand new stove in there, set it in the middle of that kitchen floor, whip up a great cake batter, put it on top of that stove or in the oven, and stand back and watch it. And guess what will happen? Not a thing. It'll just continue to remain the same. Because there was nothing working there. The power was all around you in the walls, but that stove in the middle was not doing a lick of good. You slide it up to the wall, plug it into where it should be. What you have done is created a contact. It's the same way in prayer. God is all around us. His grace is all around us. But we have to access it. We have to create a contact. We have to plug into that. In a sense, we have to let what is already there flow through. through us. The only way to do that is to create a contact, and we do that through contacting with God. That is the only way to access God, is through prayer. So, do you have a ritual or a relationship? God says, we've all heard the verse, pray without ceasing. You know, God does not care. He says, you know, you can go into your room, you can pray. You can go into your room, you can close the door and pray. You can go into your closet, you can go into your closet, close the door and pray. In a sense, God doesn't care where you pray, how you pray. God wants you to pray. He wants that intimate relationship with each one of us. The saying was, prayer, don't leave home without it. It's something that should be in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our minds. Prayer and praise are the two things that should be in our thoughts at all times. In Corinthians 12, Jeremy, if you have that, pull it up for me. Second Corinthians 12, 10 through 7. This is Paul here. And Paul had a little thorn in his flesh. We've all had these. Not a literal walking through the woods, briar gets stuck in you, thorn. It says here, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Go back to the first part of that, Jeremy, for me, please. He had a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan is what it says. When he prayed, it said he prayed three times. How often do we run into a hardship? How often is there something in our life that is a thorn in our flesh? It may be something, it may be someone, it can be anything that could really just be a thorn in our side. He prayed three times, God, please take this away. So often we think prayer is a bottle of grease lightning that we can just spray on something and the mess just goes away. That is not what prayer is. Prayer is not a remove all, fix all situation. He says here, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, which obviously he didn't take it from him. But go to the next verse. What did he get? He accessed. God says, I don't need to remove this from you, but here is my grace that I'm giving you. That's what we're doing when we pray. We're accessing God's grace. We're saying, God, now sometimes God will remove the problem. I mean, you hear many stories of somebody praying for something and it literally goes away. But here he says, my grace is all you need. You don't need me to remove this problem completely, because if I remove this problem completely, you are not going to get stronger. You're not going to be in a better relationship with me. But what I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you something even better. I'm going to give you grace. Grace, it says here, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. All we need is God's grace, and we have all the power we need to overcome any weakness that he might bestow upon us, or that Satan might bestow upon us. That thorn in our flesh, God says, I don't need to rip it out. Here's grace. You won't worry about it anymore. You will, on your strength, along with my grace, you'll get through it. And it makes us stronger. It says in the verses behind that, you know, that it makes us stronger. So God's grace is what we're accessing when we go to him in prayer. little boy was sitting outside of the White House. Funny, I got two stories about the White House. And this man, he noticed this man sitting on a park bench with his head in his hands crying. Little boy went up to him and said, "Mister, why are you crying? Mister, why are you crying?" And he said, "Little boy," he said, my brother is in prison. He done something bad. But he said, "They're going to put my brother to death tomorrow. And the only person that can save him is behind them gates and in that house." He said, "But they won't let me in. They said I can't go in there to talk to him." And he said, "I just wish I could talk to him." Little boy said, "Come with me." So he grabbed the man by the hand. Man didn't know what he was going to do. He walked to the front gate, and the gates opened up. They walked on in, past the guards, walked in the front door of the house, walked past the security there, walked right past the secretary sitting behind her desk, and into the great room where President Abraham Lincoln sat. Abraham Lincoln looked, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Dad, you need to talk to this man." That's the way prayer works in a Christian's life. Jesus came down and died the only way, and he created a way to God, but only through his Son. The only way that Son and that man got through all that security and got there was because of the Son. That's the way it is with our prayer life. When we pray, it's in Jesus' name. That's the relationship we have with God, is through Jesus and through him bleeding and dying on a cross for us. Because of him, we have access to God. Prayer is an act of faith to a God we cannot see. We can't see God. I've said many times, we can't see the wind. We can't see the many things in nature we can't see, but we can see the effects of. That's the way God is. We can't see him. When we pray, we're praying to somebody we've never seen. We've never audibly talked back and forth to. God speaks in many voices, but we've probably never talked audibly back and forth to him. Prayer is an act of faith. Is it an act of faith? Do you do it just repeatedly, the same thing over and over? Or when you pray, are you building a relationship? That's our ultimate goal, is building a relationship. You can get up in the morning, have a devotional every morning, and not be getting any closer to God if you're just reading and not spending time talking with him one-on-one. Because without that communication, you're just not getting any closer. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is the prayer that we've all prayed many times, the Lord's Prayer. And the disciples here thought it interesting. The disciples here asked Jesus, they said, "Jesus," and I don't know, you would figure disciples, these are men that followed Jesus around every day, watched him. And their question to him was, "Teach us how to pray." Jesus didn't say, "Okay, boys, sit right here. This is the prayer you should pray." No, that wasn't what he was saying when he said this. He said, "Here's an example of how you should pray." Then he said, "This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I think it goes on, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." He said, this is an example how you should pray. When he starts off, "Our Father," the first word there, "our." It doesn't say "mine," "my Father." Some people like to make it personal. But I have brothers and sisters. They can't say that, they can't say, hey, he is, that my dad, Wesley, is my father. It's our father, all of us brothers and sisters. It's the same way with this prayer. Our father. It's all of ours. We're all siblings in Christ. He's all of our father. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. Thy kingdom come. What we're saying here, Lord, thy kingdom come. Come into our life. Come into our church. Come into our family. We want our life to be as you would want it to be. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want it to be done here as it is where God is. Quickly, accurately, joyfully. We want a little bit of heaven on earth is what we're saying. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice here it says, give us this day our daily bread, not give us this day our daily cheesecake. Bread is an essential part of life. You can live many days, many months on bread. Bread is an essential part of life. We don't need cakes and cookies and all that. Our daily bread. And it also, give us our daily provisions is what he's saying. Lord, you know what I'm going to need today. That's what I'm asking for. Give us this today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We will never, we've all probably at one time or another borrowed money from a bank, somebody, a family member, and paid them back. We will never be able to repay God for what he did for us. We can't set it up on a plan where in 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, we will be debt-free in our mind from God. God, what we're saying is, God, I'll never be able to pay you back for what you've done at Calvary for me, but I ask that you help me to forgive those that sometimes I may hold a grudge against or a debt against. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I wrote down here something I had wrote, the old songwriter, song we've sung many times. And what it says here, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We've all sang that song. Lead us not into temptation. We're humans. We're prone to wander. Temptation is all around us. What we're asking God for is deliver us from this evil one. Help us to avoid these temptations. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Do you have a ritual or do you have a relationship? So often we don't think. Every time we bow our head in prayer, we're not building a relationship. We're just repeating a ritual that we do. And we just do not, it's not helping, it's not building anything between me and God. It's not building any kind of structure. It's not helping just that communication. How can we say, we've got this example of how we should pray. How can we say, God, how can we say our if we only live for ourselves? When it talks about our Father, when we're saying our Father and we use my and me, how can we say our Father? How can we use the term Father if we never act like His child? How can we say, who art in heaven, if we're never laying up any treasures there? How can we say, hallowed would be thy name, how reverent is your name, if we're constantly taking his name in vain? How can we say this? How can we say, thy kingdom come, if we're not doing anything to hasten that day? How can we say, thy will be done, if we're just going to do it our own way? How can we say, on earth as it is in heaven, if I am unwilling to serve here and now? How can we say, give us this day our daily bread? We're asking God, give us today. Give us what we need today. If every day I'm trying to produce and make sure that I have everything I need for that day and not relying on God, how can we do that? Forgive us our debts if we hold grudges against people. How can we do this? Lead us not into temptation if I directly place myself in temptation's path. How can I do this? Deliver us from evil if I won't put on the whole armor of God. How can I say deliver me from evil if I say I don't need this, I don't need the breastplate of righteousness, I don't need the helmet of salvation. If I don't put on this whole armor of God, how can I say deliver me from evil? For thine is the kingdom. If I'm not loyal to the king, how can we say this? How can we say to him be the power if I fear what people are going to do to me? How can I say to him be the glory if I'm seeking all of it for myself? If I want all the glory for me, how can I say to God be the glory? Doesn't work. How can I say forever if my life is completely worried about today? How can I worry? How can I say forever and ever, amen, if I'm worried about what's here today? So often we pray and we don't realize what we say. My challenge that I want to leave here today, are you building a relationship or are you just repeating a ritual? When you go to bed at night and your children want to pray, you might have your family prayer time, take a little bit of time and explain to them why you're praying for their grandparents or why you're praying for to have a good night's rest, not have any bad dreams. You're not just saying words. You're building a relationship with God. And so often we might be tired and it's like, okay, you know, let's just, now lay me down to sleep. Amen. All right, good night, son. Your child does not gain any knowledge from doing that. Explain to them what you're doing, why we're praying this prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Explain to them what that means. You're building a relationship not only through your children, but from your children to God. They know what, at a young age, that when somebody bows their head to pray, they're making a contact to God. And you can't do that in just a ritual-based prayer. You need that contact. Prayer is, God is all around us, but yet when we pray, we have to make that personal contact with God. So that's what I want to leave with you. Is our prayer life a ritual or is it a relationship? Shall we stand for prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you for this contact we have through Jesus to access grace, Lord. We thank you for this avenue of prayer that sometimes we take for granted, Lord. Ask, Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we take this for granted, Lord. Sometimes I'm in a hurry, and Lord, what the words I say it just doesn't mean much. And I've asked for your forgiveness, Lord. I want to create this contact. I want to create a relationship with you through my prayer life. Thank you for your many blessings to us, this wonderful church here. Be with everybody. Ones that are traveling today, coming home, Lord. Be with them on the highways. Bring them safe home. Thank you for your many blessings to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.